The great Spanish Catholic philosopher Miguel de Unamuno said that the holiest use of a temple is that it is a place where people weep together. This is called in Hebrew Beit Knesset, a house of gathering, and gathering is what we do in times of uncertainty, in times of fear, in times of sadness, and in times of loss. If we are lucky, others understand and share our trepidation and our pain. This morning, in view of the uncertain fate of Prime Minister Sharon and the concern throughout the world, and particularly, of course, among our people, not only for him as a person, but also for Israel, we are grateful for the support and concern of our friends. As those of you who have been here over the years know, I try very, very hard to remain resolutely apolitical, as I think is actually the appropriate stance for somebody whose principal task in this world is supposed to be religious. So I say this not as a political statement, but just as a statistician. The number of times that our mayor has come to Sinai Temple, both before and after he was elected, reflects a tremendous concern for our community, and it is a concern and even a love that we share that is a wonderful thing. And we are grateful that he contacted us and said that he would like to be with us at this time because he knows how difficult it is for the Jewish community to face the possible, even probable, loss of the leader of Israel. Along with the Consul General of Israel here in Los Angeles, Ehud Danoch, Mayor Villaraigosa has come this morning not only to share in prayer, but to share some thoughts with us, and we are glad and grateful that we are able to pray together with our Consul General and with Hazana, the Mayor, and I'm going to ask them both if they would come forward and say a few words to us this morning.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much, Rabbi Wolpe, the President on Flesh. Thank you very much, Mayor Villaraigosa, for the concern, not only to the community here in Los Angeles and the Jewish community, but to the State of Israel. Mayor Villaraigosa was twice before in Israel. He's going to be the next year also. He's coming this year in Israel. And I wanted to take this opportunity and thank you very much for the concern, the love, the friendship. Thank you, Mayor. These days are very tough days in Israel. The past 58 hours, the Prime Minister started the first operation in Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem. Everyone in Israel and around the world are praying for the health of the Prime Minister, and we wish and we hope that in the next 12 hours we will hear a positive answers from the doctors after waking up. He's under sedation now, and we hope to hear good news. But something that is very important, I think, for everyone to know, and the papers this morning started to elaborate on, is the internal political situation in Israel. It's very important for me to mention that what we see today in Israel, we see unity, togetherness. Before the Prime Minister went to the hospital, as you all know, elections was set to March 28. And now we have the acting Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. It's beautiful to see in Israel that these days there are no politics at all. Everyone, all the ministers, the members of Knesset, the citizens of Israel, are standing behind the acting Prime Minister Ehud Olmert while our Prime Minister is in the hospital and support him. And this is, I think, the strength of the people in Israel and the strength of the support that we get from the support that we get around the world. And this is the strength also of our political situation and stability in Israel. I wanted to thank you very much. Thank you very much for praying also to the health of our Prime Minister. And I wish you Shabbat Shalom, all the best, and thank you.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, Rabbi Wolpe, for that kind introduction. Ehud, thank you for allowing me to accompany you today. I'm always inspired when I hear Rabbi Wolpe, whether he speaks from a text or from his heart. He always speaks with an eloquence that sets him apart. We are here at a gathering today, Jews and a Gentile, together in prayer, praying for a great man, the leader of Israel, a man of peace, a man who has defended Israel at every turn for more than six decades. When you think about his condition, we all pray for a recovery. It is, I think, important what Consul General Danok mentioned, and that is not only is Israel united, but Jews around the world and the friends of Israel are united as well. I come today not as a politician. I come today as the leader of this city, a city more diverse than any in the world, a city with the largest Israeli population outside of Israel, a city with the second largest Jewish population, a city of hope, a city with strong bonds with Tel Aviv, our sister city, and Israel. I am praying with all of you for a speedy recovery, but peace is our ultimate prayer. I come to this gathering in respect and in honor of Prime Minister Sharon and all of you today. Thank you.
I'm going to ask people in the back if they will take a seat, and if you want to take a moment. There are a number of seats, especially over on this side of the sanctuary. There is a thin line between miracles and false hopes. I say this because 25 years ago, when she was in fact 25 years younger than the Prime Minister is now, my mother endured exactly the same medical problem that the Prime Minister currently endures, that is a cerebral hemorrhage. And although it wasn't located exactly in the same place, the prognosis was quite similar. And the fact that she survived, although she survived with serious disabilities as a result, just as we are told will likely happen should the Prime Minister survive, makes me particularly aware of the fact that although we pray, our assumptions and preparations have to be that Israel will soon have to choose for itself a new Prime Minister. And of course, our first reaction is the reaction of the Talmud. Oy la la sfina she'avad kavanita. Woe is the ship that has lost its captain. There is no question that Ariel Sharon occupies a unique and perhaps irreplaceable niche in Israeli society, not only because of who he is, but because of where he came from. He is the last in terms of the possibility of leading Israel, of a generation that created Israel. That powerful line that leads from Jabotinsky and Ben-Gurion and Weizmann down through the years, through the wars, through the mistakes, through the triumphs, through the miracle that is the modern state. It is not the time, as some people have been doing, to review all of General Sharon's career, all of Prime Minister Sharon's career. Besides, you can now read this in any newspaper and on any website. And this morning, I wish only briefly to make two points that I hope we can remember in the days and weeks and months ahead. The first is the lesson of Prime Minister Sharon's life, because the most powerful lesson is the lesson of constant human reinvention. Here was someone who never stopped being something new, even though the thread of his life and mission was consistent. He succeeded, he failed, he succeeded again, he failed again, and he succeeded yet a third time. Like every great leader, his life is in part a chronicle of the mistakes he made that he did not allow to defeat him. And we find that in the biography of all the leaders whom we retrospectively think flawless: Churchill, Roosevelt, Lincoln, Moses. All of them fail. All of them make mistakes. All of them refuse to be defined by their mistakes and by their failures. But there is a second lesson that both the Consul General and the Mayor alluded to this morning, which is for us right now the critical lesson. With his tongue a little bit in cheek, a Hasidic rabbi once asked why it was that when the Jewish people lost Moses up the mountain, they built the golden calf and worshipped it as a god. And he said, that's because the Jewish people have a bad habit of assuming when they lose a leader, only God can replace him. And what you hear all over is no one can replace Ariel Sharon. He is irreplaceable. And that is a fitting tribute to his skills, to his career, to his determination, but it is also not true. It wasn't true with Roosevelt, with Lincoln, with Churchill, and with Moses, and it's not true with Ariel Sharon. We have to have faith in the resilience of the society, in the resourcefulness of the Jewish people. I read a column by Charles Krauthammer that praised Sharon and ended up by saying, but he has left no Joshua. To which my response is that the Israelites didn't think that Moses had left a Joshua either until Joshua proved to be Joshua. People don't establish their leadership before they become leaders. And we don't know who will grow and how they will grow. Dor holech v'dor ba. The Bible told us thousands of years ago, one generation goes, but another one comes along. And we have to have faith not only in the system, but in the example of Prime Minister Sharon, that other people of determination and skill and intelligence and passion and love will arise to succeed him. Today, tomorrow, next week, next year. Perhaps immediately, perhaps not for a while. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Talmud in Brachot, Shlosha Devarim Mikatzrim Yamal Vushnotav Shel Adam. Three things shorten the days and life of a human being. And what's the third? Hamanhig Atzmo Barabanut. Somebody who becomes a leader of the people. Da'amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Mipnei Ma Meit Yosef Kodem La'achiv Mipnei Shehinhig Atzmo Berabanut. Why did Joseph die before his brothers? Because he had to go and become a leader. There is a tremendous price and tremendous pressure that awaits whoever arises to replace Prime Minister Sharon. One of the things that we can do is what the Consul General alluded to earlier, which is to give him a chance, to hope that whoever it is, whatever our previous impressions may be, that this person will grow. Nobody, but nobody in Israeli history was reviled more over the course of the years than Ariel Sharon. And who would have thought, after Lebanon, after Sabra and Shatila, that you would be getting laudatory editorials about this man all over the world, including, believe it or not, from Europe? Who would have believed it? Let's realize that we don't know who someone is until we see who they can become. And not only that, but it is also true that who arises will in part be a tribute to the one who leaves. One sign of genius, said Goethe, is posthumous productivity. That is, things keep coming out of you even after you're gone. Sharon's legacy is a powerful one. And even if, as seems likely, he never returns individually to lead the people, that doesn't mean that the words of Moses don't come through the mouth of Joshua. In the Bible, Moshe puts his hands on Joshua and says privately to him, Chazak v'ematz, be strong and have courage. Later on, when Joshua stands before the people say to him, Chazak v'ematz. It's as if they are channeling Moses' words. We have to realize that whoever succeeds Prime Minister Sharon needs us to give him support and give him strength. Let me close by pointing out something that happens in this coming week's parsha in Vayechi. Vayechi means, and he lived. And yet it's about the death of Jacob. just as Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah, is really about the death of Sarah. And it is a way of saying that even when someone who is powerful leaves, even when they are gone, even when they don't stand personally before us, it doesn't mean that they don't live. A leader's life sometimes begins when the leader is no longer there, in ways that one could not imagine. Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lamut, we are told in next week's Parsha. And the days of Israel approached their end. But when Jacob dies, it doesn't say Israel died, it says Jacob died. Because even though Jacob dies, Israel lives. We are saddened and frightened that Prime Minister Sharon was struck down when he still had so much to do, and we pray, hope against hope, that he will recover. But most important is that we share the faith that he had, because ultimately his faith was not in himself. It was in the people Israel, the land of Israel, and the destiny of Israel. No one person, no one generation changes that destiny, because it is not in our hands, but in God's. Please rise as we recite the prayer for the state of Israel.